Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the band is out on the field. He's looking for the ball. We are so away from tradition, because when we be out, girl, it's full of that. Smith caught him right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks.
Let's get into it. Pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. I'm back at the helm this week, coming home for a day before me and the boys head off to Vegas for the first time by ourselves. So it'll be an interesting trip. I know Bub is a little worried about me, but I think I'll make it out alive. What do you think, Bub?
Oh, no, I'm not worried about it. Listen, you're going to have a good time, and you know, I gave you my over and unders already. I already handicapped the trip, and I bet you I'm pretty close. It'll be interesting. It'll be a lot of fun, and let's see your survival rate.
Yeah, so speaking of handicapping, I mean, this is the week where I really get to put the picks to the test. I'm going to be sitting at the sports book on Sunday till about 5 o'clock Vegas time, so get to see both rounds of games. So, I mean, I guess we'll get into this week's picks first, Bub. I mean, you got anybody you like on the schedule, anybody you're looking at? I know we get some good division games this week, and a big game I think everybody's looking at is the Patriots playing the Bengals at home. They're a 9-point favorite. And the Bengals are coming off a spanking by the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. But I don't know. I mean, 9 points. I love Tom Brady. I love the comeback tour. He was absolutely spectacular last week. But I think this Bengals team is a little underrated at 2-3. And I think 9 points might be a little much. What do you think?
Well, let me put it this way. I might not lay it, but I certainly wouldn't take it. The Cincinnati, in my opinion, is too undependable. They're not having a good year. AJ Green is not off to a good start. Andy Dalton's really struggling, and I noticed last week that he got dinged pretty good, and he was limping pretty good. Not that he won't be okay, but I'm not. We all get sucked in by that. Either it's too cheap or it's too expensive. And a couple weeks ago, we picked the game, and I said this is a trap game, and I was right. We bet him. We put him down, but we were long. And this is maybe too many points. But I see New England in a big percentage of give them a good throttling and maybe win by 3 touchdowns. So I would never I would stay away from this game.
Okay, I gotcha. Another big game I'm looking at: Cowboys Packers. Packers are at home right now. They're a 3.5-point favorite. Dak Prescott is playing some unbelievable football this year. I mean, the guy, for a rookie third round pick, has been awesome. And I was kind of surprised this week. He came out, Jerry Jones said, Tony Romo is the starter when he comes back, and Dak Prescott kind of backed him up and said, I'm just a fill-in right now. Honestly, I don't know about that. I mean, Tony Romo, I think, is a great quarterback when he plays, but the guy's been hurt so many times, it's hard to keep track. And, the Cowboys are 4-1, and they haven't exactly faced, the world's toughest schedule, but I mean, Dak Prescott is playing some great football, and I don't know if you give Romo the job back when he comes back.
First of all, let's say this, that Dak Prescott has won more games than any Cowboy backup for the last 3 years total, number one. Number two, let's show what kind of man Dak Prescott is. He said it's Tony Romo's job. Now, to himself, he might say, I deserve the job, but he's being the team guy. Now, I think my personal opinion is I would, kind of cut ties with Tony Romo now and keep him as a backup and take him in the room and say, hey, look, this guy's doing a job. We're off to a great start. He's going to be our guy after you. And, you could come in like last year, one set of plays and you're out again. you know, unfortunately, I think Prescott's on a roll. I think he's done a nice job, and I think you let him run with the offense. But, you know, they'll do the right thing. They'll bring in Romo, and then it might be a competition, and Prescott will be fine because he is a man. And I think that it's great. I'm glad to see him play so well because, again, I can respect a team player. That's more important sometimes than the ability. So I like that. And unfortunately, this week I don't like the Cowboys. So I do think that the Packers, as bad as Aaron Rodgers has been, and he's been pretty bad in my opinion over the last 18 games, I think that this experience for Dak Prescott, there's no place like playing at Lambeau Field, especially for the first time.
Yeah, you know, this is going to be a tough game, I think, for the Cowboys. You know, Packers secondary is a little banged up. It looks like Sam Shields might not play again. And I have a lot of confidence that Dak can get it done, but this Packers rush defense is pretty damn good. And we've seen what Ezekiel Elliott can do. I mean, he's turning in very rapidly into one of the best running backs in the league, but I think rushing yards are going to be tough to come by on Sunday. And, you know, this Packers team playing at home, Aaron Rodgers is still, you know, despite the last 18 games, I think he's still a pretty damn good quarterback. So I agree with you, Bob. I think we're going to lay the 3.5 here at home with the Packers. Cowboys move to 4-2. I still see Dak Prescott having a pretty good game, but I think it's going to be tough to overcome the Lambeau crowd, and they're going to make him throw the ball. I mean, you know, he's been pretty good, but, I mean, honestly, the guy has not been throwing the ball downfield really at all this year. Has a very high completion percentage, but I think the Packers are going to force him to make some plays, and I'm sure he will make a few, but I think Aaron Rodgers is going to take the cake in this game. The Packers are going to go on. Kind of one of the most surprising spreads of the week, I think the Seahawks, 6-point favorites at home versus the Falcons. I mean, a couple years ago, that would have been easy. You know, this is a 10, maybe 14-point spread, but the Falcons absolutely dominated the Broncos last week. I know we were both really high on the Broncos, but pass rush wasn't really there. Matt Ryan did his job. They won 28-14, and, you know, they're sitting at 4-1. I think they got another thing coming with the Seahawks D this week, though.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think that, you know, now, you know, that maybe this is Matty Ryan's year. You know, maybe he's going to finally fulfill the high hopes we've had for him all these years. Maybe he does the job. You know what? You know, I've seen this movie from before. I think, weren't they last year 6-0 to start the season off? You know, Julio Jones had, a 300-yard game 2 weeks ago. I see the Seahawks giving them an ass-whipping. That would be mine. Seahawks are coming off of a bye. You know, Atlanta's on the road a long way, switching time zones. You know, it's easier to go east to west, but, you know, I think that I think Seattle gives them an ass-whipping. That's the way I see this game. I don't see it any other way. How do you see it?
Yeah, I agree. I'm very high on the Seahawks passing game. You know, Russell Wilson, a little banged up this year. He's still doing some good things. You know, I think if you're looking for some daily fantasy plays, maybe take a look at Tyler Lockett, Doug Baldwin, maybe Jimmy Graham. I mean, I think there'd be some solid plays this week. You know, I know Lockett was injured a little the other week, but I think he's going to come back strong. Last game I wanted to talk about, Bub, was the Colts are traveling to Houston. Houston's a 3-point favorite right now. You got a quick take on the game?
You know, I think that, you know, I'm not a believer in the Colts. I'm not a believer in Pagano. I'm not a believer in Luck, I think, is still hurt, even though they're not saying he is. I'm a believer in Houston. I think Lamar Miller might run for 200 yards this week.
Well, I think you just read my mind because Houston's actually my best bet of the week. I think Lamar Miller is my top daily fantasy play. I think he's going to be a little under-owned. You got guys like Jordan Howard right around that pricing point. He's been a stud the last couple weeks. So Houston -3, I think they're going to absolutely kill it. Lamar Miller, a couple hundred yards and maybe a couple tutties to go along with it. I don't think Brock Osweiler is going to have to do too much in this game. So we're locking in the Texans. We're also taking the Packers. And those are going to be our picks for week 6 in the NFL. This is The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. If you miss the show, you can find us on libertytalk.fm. And we'll see you after the break with some more breakdown from week 5 and some college football.
You don't get my soul, do you?
Technically, no, but
I'm smarter than a dad.
Welcome back to The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. So, Bubba, I know we talked about this week in the NFL, but I thought there was a couple good things we need to look back on last week, and I know we brought it up before, but
Let's go this week. One more thing, though, before we go to last week. What's your take on Colin Kaepernick taking over for Blaine Gabbert?
You know what? I'm not going to say that that gives me any high hopes for the 49ers. I mean, obviously we've all seen what Kaepernick can do. At one point, you know, he was the next up and coming, you know, big quarterback in the NFL, you know, went to a couple NFC championship games, went to the Super Bowl. But from what we all saw last year, I mean, the guy was pretty bad. But, you know, speaking of Blaine Gabbert, he's been equally as bad. And I think it was time for the 49ers to make a change. I don't know if it's going to end up working out. I mean, odds are, I mean, this team is not very good. I don't care who's coaching them. I know Chip Kelly, supposedly a pretty good coach, but, you know, I'm not a big fan of Kaepernick. You know, after what I saw last year, there was a huge regression in basically every part of his game. You know, he's got a big arm. He's an athletic guy, but I just don't see it working out for the 49ers. He doesn't have a lot of weapons around him. I think Carlos Hyde has been more or less of a disappointment the past couple years. Offensive line is underperforming. And really not a lot of weapons to throw the ball around to. I mean, you got Torrey Smith, who I think is on the wrong side of his career. And, you know what, I just don't see big things coming out of Kaepernick, no matter what he can do. I mean, there's lots going to be put on his shoulders this week, that's for sure.
Do you think that some guys might give him a little extra shot, you know, down in the pile? You know, a guy who's, you know, representing. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a free country. But do you think anybody might be, any of the guys might be a little perturbed about it, might give him a little extra shot? Did they catch him?
Yeah, you know, I think that's definitely a possibility. I know some guys have came out and sided with Kaepernick, says what he's doing is great, but I'm sure there's guys on the other side of the table who, you know, really don't like what he's doing. So, I mean, there's definitely a little extra incentive for, you know, some guys who, you know, think the spotlight's way too much on Kaepernick for really not even playing. So I think that could definitely come up, but we'll see how the game rolls. I mean, Kaepernick is a very athletic quarterback and make a lot of plays with his feet, but, you know, we've seen running quarterbacks the past few years in the NFL, and they really, as a rule, don't work out unless your name's Cam Newton. So,
or Russell Wilson.
But, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I think that's definitely a possibility. A guy can give him a little extra juice when they roll up in the pile. So, talking about last week, Bub, Tom Brady was absolutely flawless. Threw for 400 yards, 3 touchdowns. The Patriots dismantled the Browns, and it was like the guy never left.
Yeah, and he came back for a great game, too. What's better to come back down to the play a college team when you get back from a suspension? I mean, you knew he was going to be ready to go, right? I mean, yeah, this guy don't screw around. He was ready, and of course, the Browns are just absolutely awful. But Brady was, you know, on his mark, and, you know, it's funny. You play for Belichick's team, you know, some say he's not that good and whatever. All I know is whoever he lines up, they win. They managed to go 3-1 without him. Now he's back, and, you know, all of a sudden, Amendola's in play. He ain't been in play for, you know, he used to be drafted. Now he doesn't even get drafted in our league. So all of a sudden, you know, Brady finds them all, however he does it.
Right. And what is it with the Chargers and not being able to close out a game? I mean, they're 1-4. They've given up 3 10-point leads in the second half. I mean, it's brutal to watch, you know, especially the Chargers weren't supposed to be any good this year, but they found themselves winning 4 out of 5 games, I think almost in the fourth quarter, and they find a way to blow it in Oakland on Sunday. I mean, it's getting hard to watch. You know, Melvin Gordon, back-to-back weeks, you know, fumbles in the fourth quarter, and, you know, Phillip Rivers, honestly, the guy's doing all he can. I mean, he's, I think, you know, the third best fantasy quarterback in the league right now, but I mean, Mike McCoy and the Chargers, this is getting really hard to watch, and he's got to be on the hot seat this week.
Well, I thought that that they had the lead with under 5 minutes to go in for the game. So
whatever it is,
it's been pretty ugly. I mean, no, you're right. No, it's been ugly, and they've had a lot of bad breaks this year too. I mean, they've lost. I think they lose one star a week. It's amazing. And of course, Joey Bosa finally got in the field and didn't look so good in his first efforts. But you know, we'll see. I mean, I think it's a. It's a problem, but that always was a San Diego problem. They never had a very good defense. I mean, that's just, for whatever reason, their downfall has always been how bad their defense is.
Right. And, you know, we talked about a few weeks ago, Bills firing their offensive coordinator. The team was in shambles. Meanwhile, they've won 3 in a row. They just beat the crap out of the Rams this week. LeSean McCoy popped off for 150 yards. You know, this Rex Ryan team, they've had a definite turnaround. I know the Rams, after that first game, we wrote them off. But meanwhile, they were a 3-1 football team, and the Bills came in and more or less beat them up for 4 quarters. I mean, you know, I know it's going to be tough to win the East with the Pats, but, you know, does this Bills team have a shot at the wild card?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I think the AFC is kind of weak this year. I think there's a lot of, you know, downtrodden teams. I mean, you know, you got, I think the only cream, Denver is still, to me, not the cream of the crop. Their defense is, but you saw what happened when Paxton Lynch was in there. He had a lot of trouble playing. You know, it wasn't the same. And Miami is terrible. And the Jets are very average. You know, Pittsburgh has showed a little bit, but, you know, not great yet. Cincinnati, Cleveland, you know, Baltimore has been there, but blown a couple. You know, Kansas City, Oakland. So what do you got? So, yeah, they got a good shot to get to the playoffs.
Right. And then the most disappointing game of the week for me was the Giants, you know, traveled to Lambeau Sunday night. And, you know, I was so high on the Giants at the start of the year. But, you know, Eli Manning looks like a completely different quarterback this year. You know, third year in Ben McAdoo's system, I thought, you know, this would be another great year for him to throw 30, 35 touchdowns. But the offense can't get in sync. I know Odell Beckham scored his first touchdown of the year, but, you know, that was with a minute left in the game and they're down by two scores. You know, Packers didn't play particularly well. I thought the Giants just, you know, kind of hopped along. And meanwhile, they're 2-3. And, you know, they're kind of disgusting me right now, Bub. I mean, the Cowboys are 4-1. The Eagles are 3-1, and they look pretty good with Carson Wentz. And I'm kind of worried about my Giants to win the division now.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think Odell Beckham is part of this problem? I mean, you know, I have him, and I'm obviously disappointed. But, you know, every week he's got a battle. I mean, you know, coming this week, the corner he's against, if he shoves me after the whistle, I'll kick his ass. So, I mean, is he part of the problem? I'm not saying he is. I don't know. What do you think?
You know, I don't think he's part of the problem. You know, I know his outbursts can be a bit much. I know it's a big topic of discussion. But, you know, I think he's a guy who is definitely going to help this team in the long run and short run through whatever time frame you want to look at. I mean, he is, I think, the best player on this team. He's the biggest playmaker, and they're going to need him to get going a little bit. I know we talked about his stat line last week. It was pretty similar to last year, minus the couple touchdowns. But, I mean, now's the time for the Giants to go. I mean, Eli Manning honestly needs to play a little better, step it up. I know that offensive line is kind of struggling, but, I mean, this guy's a veteran. He's got a lot of weapons around him. Sterling Shepard, Victor Cruz is now healthy, Odell Beckham. The running game really isn't there, but you know what? Sometimes you don't have a running game. Just ask Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, you know, the past 10 years, what running backs they've had. You know, sometimes you just got to throw the ball around and sling it around to your best players. Odell Beckham is one of those guys. So the Giants season's going to turn around. It's going to start with Eli Manning and Odell Beckham, and that's where it needs to go.
No, I agree with that. I mean, listen, I was never a big fan of Eli Manning anyways. I don't think, you know, look, he won the Super Bowl MVP. And he did it all. He's got two Super Bowls. But as far as a quarterback, I was never that impressed ever. So I'm not surprised. I mean, he's got three great receivers here. He's got one of the best receiving corps in football, and he doesn't seem to get it done. And so, you know, hey, I hope they turn around because obviously I got Odell Beckham on my team. So
me too. So, you know, we'll see how the NFL looks this week. I know I'll be sitting at the Mirage in front of a couple 120-inch screens having a great time. So we'll see how that goes. But I think we're going to move on to college football now, Bub. And you were a week late on the Midshipmen. And, you know, they took down Houston, a number 6 team in the nation this week, 46-40, rushed for over 300 yards against Houston's top 10 ranked rushing defense in a rainy game. You know, did you watch the game at all, and what'd you think?
I thought it was amazing, and I think that is the that one thing about all of the armed forces teams, they're always overmatched in games like that, but sometimes they have such a unique offense, and they're so disciplined. They get on a roll, and they got on a roll, and they piled the yards up, and it was just too late for Houston. And, you know, listen, you take a team lightly, and sometimes you get slapped, and, you know, there's been a lot of tight games all year this year, and so not a major surprise. You know, I mean, obviously, we thought that Houston had a chance for the playoff. Goodbye, playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be real tough for this Houston team now. I mean, they're out of the top 10. They're at number 13, but, you know, being a kind of a mid-major team, losing to a team like Navy, I don't care how good they've looked this year. It doesn't bode well for them. That's all the time we have for this part of the Sporting Edge. We're going to break down some more college football in the next segment, and of course, we got to get to the MLB playoffs because our Cubbies are in the NLCS. If you miss a show, you know where to find us, libertytalk.fm, and we'll see you after the break.
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. So Bubba, you know, we went over Houston. We think they're done for the year. Another great game last week was the Red River rivalry between Texas and Oklahoma. And Texas put up an awfully good fight in this one, but the Sooners took it 45-40. This was a great game. You know, I watched the whole thing. You know, it came down, you know, the last drive. Oklahoma ended up taking it. I think this was a big win for them, but you know, they didn't look great against a Texas team. I thought, you know, it's been pretty overrated the first 4 weeks of this college football season.
Well, especially a Texas team that kicked their ass last year too is a big underdog. I think Oklahoma is somewhere along the way they lost their way. They no longer play defense. They try to outpound and outscore everybody. You know, if you go back about 10, 12 years ago when they knocked Florida State out for the national championship, Florida State, I don't think, gained 50 yards for the game. Now, they can't stop anybody. I'm not a big Sooner guy anyways anymore. I feel bad for Charlie Strong because I think he's going to be on the hot seat again from Texas. But what about Brian Kelly from Notre Dame? Should he be on the hot seat?
His seat got to be hotter than hell right now. I mean, Notre Dame has looked awful this season. And, you know, I know they fired their defensive coordinator the other week, but it's amazing to me, you know, how quickly the tables have turned at Notre Dame. I mean, I thought this team, you know, after a couple years, they built up to a top 10 program, and I thought they were poised to have one of those, you know, decade-long runs where they'd be in the conversation every year. But, I mean, they look brutal this year. And I think Deshaun Kizer is a great talent, but this team is just not clicking at all. And I guess sometimes you got to look at the coach. I mean, it's a big part of college football.
I agree. And I also think that, you know, again, you know, Notre Dame built their image, you know, 100 years ago, you know, not that long, you know what I'm saying, a long time ago.
Right.
And, you know, now there's so many schools to go to. You know, do you want to go to Notre Dame? I mean, you know, I think the top recruits for the most part go to the SEC. Okay. Look at Nick Saban. He don't ever have a bad team. They just keep, I mean, I would say that their second team would be ranked in the top 20. Okay.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised about that, but I do want to give a little love to the Big Ten. I mean, Michigan and Ohio State look like they're going to be near the top of the leaderboards for a while.
I agree. I think that, I felt Michigan was going to be good this year, and Ohio State, you know, Urban Meyer, I don't know that he's ever had a bad year. I cannot remember one. So, one of the best coaches in college football, and, you know, both programs are really good, and they've got a. The one thing about the playing in the Big Ten is you've got a lot of weak sisters that play in the conference. Okay.
Yeah, you know it's true, but I mean they still got some. You know, Michigan State, Iowa, Nebraska. I mean, you know, there's a couple cupcakes, obviously, in every division, but
I think there's more in the Big Ten, though.
There is more, but I mean, speaking of Michigan. 78-0 this week at Rutgers. They allowed 38 yards for the entire game. I mean, if that's not embarrassing, I don't know what is. I mean, to give up 78 points is one thing, but to be shut out, embarrassed on your home field, I know Rutgers isn't any good and Michigan is a powerhouse, but, I mean, this was an absolute shit show. And Michigan, I mean, they just keep plodding away, ranked number 4 in the country right now. We got Ohio State at 2, Alabama at 1. You know, Ohio State looked about like Ohio State against Indiana. They won 38-17. Wasn't a very good game. They went up real big in the second quarter. So, you know, they look pretty good. But just like my Giants, another one of my favorite teams found a way to disappoint me in the worst possible way. And you know what team I'm talking about, Bub.
The Tennessee Volunteers.
The Volunteers. They've been skating by the skin of their teeth all year. And they did it again last Saturday. You know, they came back, scored 21 points in the fourth quarter to bring this game into overtime, and they lost to the Aggies. I guess this was an even spread, you know, 7 points. You might have had it at 7.5. So I guess we could maybe take a little credit for the victory there, but I'll call it an even split. But, I mean, this was just disheartening for me. Tennessee, you know, they win that game. They have one major game left on their schedule. It's actually this week against Alabama. And, you know, you never know. I would never count out a Vols team. But I fear that might be the end of the road. And this week, you know, 12.5-point underdogs. I kind of want to stay away from the Vols for a while. They broke my heart.
You know what? They broke your heart. And now they typically give Alabama a good game. But I could see that they could be emotionally drained this week. To me, this is a week that the point spread doesn't come into play. If they're ready to play, they could win straight up. If not, they might lose by a million, because if they're not emotionally ready to go here, and obviously there's no reason not to be, but, you know, that last week's loss in overtime was devastating, especially from where they came from, you know, how much they were down. They came back again and were ready to go. So I think that's a problem for them. Certainly I could see them playing, but, you know, it's tough.
Yeah, I like the fact that they're at home. I know they lost a huge game last week, but, you know, with the new system, the college football playoff with the 4 teams, I mean, this is a Tennessee team with a strong enough schedule. You know, if they did happen to win this week at Alabama, they would by no means be out of the conversation, because, you know, beating the number 1 team in the nation, you know, they would be 6-1. I don't think it's going to happen, but I have a feeling Tennessee is going to come ready to play. I mean, the schedule has been such a grind. A lot of things are pointing to, you know, they might lay down this week, and Alabama just might run a ship up their you-know-whats. But I have a strange feeling that Tennessee is going to give me a little peaceful bliss, and they might give the Tide a better game than Arkansas did last week.
I think one of the biggest games of the week is Ohio State travels to Wisconsin, getting 10. Now, Wisconsin, they're getting home, at home getting 10. I'm looking at Wisconsin here. I think that's a pretty good play based on who Wisconsin's already played this year. I mean, they played a tight game against Michigan. They're playing at home. You know, I think that they're a pretty solid player. You know, again, I love Ohio State. I think Ohio State is great, but they really struggled with Indiana, and the only people that were watching the game in the second half was the guys who were hoping for the cover in the Ohio State game. I mean, you know, it wasn't a good game, and it certainly they didn't play very well. Maybe they were looking ahead of this game, but you know, Wisconsin certainly after that first game when they almost lost to an FCS school, they've suddenly come back.
Right. You know, I think I have the same opinion like about the Alabama game as this one. I don't think the spread comes into play here. I think this is either going to be a really tight game that comes down to, you know, a field goal or a last minute drive, or I think Ohio State just comes in and absolutely pounds Wisconsin. You know what? I do like Wisconsin getting 10 points at home. And a lot of people say, you know, they almost lost to Georgia State, you know, a few weeks ago at home. But, you know, they overcame that. They beat the crap out of Michigan State. They played a great game with Michigan. You know, they lost on a last minute touchdown. And their defense has really been the key to this season. I mean, it's been spectacular. The only thing I worry about is, you know, Ohio State is not your average NCAA offense. I mean, JT Barrett, along with all the guys around him, I mean, they're a special group, and that's part of the reason they're ranked, you know, the second best team in the country. So I think you throw the 10 points out the window. I think this game is either, you know, 24-21 or, you know, maybe 49-7 Ohio State. I like Wisconsin in this one. I think their defense is going to keep them in the game. I don't think they're going to give up too many points. And, you know, even with Alex Hornibrook at quarterback, I think Wisconsin can still put up 21, you know, maybe 30 points against an Ohio State defense that isn't great. You know, they're pretty good, but I think the offense really runs the show for them.
You know, I agree with that. I think that we're solid there, and I think Clemson all of a sudden seems to be coming back and playing pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about that game the other week with Louisville. You know, both showed us that those teams are for real. And Clemson, you know, a lot of people were high on Louisville in that game. I mean, we talked about the spread moved 4 points, which in a game like that, you know, especially when Clemson was at home, I thought that was pretty bizarre. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that. But, you know, they came back. They're 6-0 right now. They're, you know, 18-point favorites facing North Carolina State this week. I didn't really have an opinion on the game, Bub, but, you know, I think Clemson is a team to look out for. I know they kind of get overlooked with, you know, how the season's gone so far. They really didn't play that well at the start, but I think this team is going to be there when the college football playoffs
start. I think they have an easy ride. No, I think that, you know, their toughest game was supposed to be Florida State. And, of course, I think he's got a bad team this year.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a bad team. That's a misstatement. They're a good team, but they're not in the same class or caliber as the upper echelon anymore. They're not. No longer are they the dominant force coming in.
Right, and you know that. I think even myself, you know, I'll put it on me. You know, I overrated Florida State a lot. I mean, and they came out. I mean, got their asses kicked by Louisville. I could see it. Haven't looked that good. They did have a big win at Miami last week.
They won 2019. Look, again, I love Florida State. It's one of my favorite teams to watch, but. You know, I can see that they just don't have the same class of athletes. And this kind of goes back to that Notre Dame model. Some guys are just, you know, they just don't draw as good anymore. I mean, they're still good, but it's a little bit different right now.
Right. You know, it definitely is a little bit different. But what I wouldn't mind if the college football playoffs started today. I mean, Clemson versus Ohio State, Alabama versus Michigan. I mean, I would love to see Michigan play Alabama. I think it'd be a monumental game. And you know what? Maybe down the road we'll get to see it. You never know. Meanwhile, this is the Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We're going to come back with some talk about the MLB. We don't get to see Big Poppy play anymore, but it was quite a ride. So if you miss a show, you know where to find us, libertytalk.fm, and we'll see you after the break. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge, Xander and Bubba. So, Bub said his name before the break. Will go down for me, one of my all-time favorite players to watch, David Ortiz, you know, walked off the field for the last time. I was watching that entire game, and I just had a gut-wrenching feeling in my stomach when they pinch ran for him that might be the last time I get to see Big Poppy on base. And ended up being the case. I mean, the Red Sox fought hard the whole series, just came up short with the pitching. I think that was the main thing.
David Price. They got David Price, 0-8 in the big game.
Right. And we called the first game. I remember we talked about last week. We were recording on a Friday. Called those first round of games pretty damn good. I mean, Dodgers-Nats was 4-3. You know, Scherzer-Kershaw. We said David Price, 0-7 in the playoffs. He was 0-8. And the Cubbies-Giants, we said, was a toss-up. And the game was 1-0. Cubs got a solo homer in the ninth. So I'm going to pat us on the back for that. But, you know, the Red Sox, I thought, were a team that, you know, could maybe make a run because that offense is just so potent. I mean, they got a bunch of bats in there, but they really came short on the pitching end of the spectrum. I mean, you know, Drew Pomerantz, I know, didn't start any games, but he came in relief and was not very good. I mean, the pitching let him down, and Cleveland, they went out, they grinded, they scored runs when they needed to, and even without Danny Salazar and Carlos Carrasco, they swept the Red Sox. And I think they're a dangerous team, you know.
Big Poppy got cut from the Twins, ended up being one of the biggest hitters. He better go into the Hall of Fame. He'll be the first DH in there, but he better go to the Hall of Fame. Because not only was he great and a lot of clutch hits, but he was also a great ambassador for the game. I mean, always smiling, you know, his whole thing, his whole game. But, yeah, I mean, look, here's the bottom line. Playoff baseball, if you can't pitch, you can't win. You cannot be given up. You know, you can win a game 8-7 in the playoffs, but basically these games, you just check the totals every week. In every playoff game, that same game during the season, the total might be 8. In the playoffs, are 6 because you're seeing the best of the best. And one thing for sure, and if you don't believe me, ask the Yankees, good pitching shuts down good hitting every day of the week and twice on Sunday. I mean, and Cleveland got a marginal outing from Bauer, but they were able to escape that game, and Kluber was just an animal.
Yeah, I mean, I got to give credit to Corey Kluber. That was a turning point in this series. He comes out, and we said a seven-inning stat, you know, went 7 innings and 22 out of his 32 starts, gave him 7 innings, 7 Ks, pitched some great baseball, and the Indians move on here. But, you know, like I said, I want to give my one last shout-out. Big Poppy, you know, not only one of the best players I've ever seen play the game, but a great ambassador for the game was, you know, when you thought about baseball, I know people say, you know, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper. Big Poppy was always the guy, you know, behind the scenes, you know, was doing all the commercials. He's, you know, a fun guy to interview. He's always on the screen, always smiling, and he backed it up with his play. I mean, the guy is one of the most clutch hitters of all time. Not only in the regular season, but the playoffs especially. I mean, I think back to that 2004 series with the Yankees when the Red Sox won their first title in 86
years. Yeah, it was unbelievable. And it's nice to see him go out as on top of one of his best years of his career. I thought it was great. But what did you think about the two American League series, both sweeps? I mean, Texas, they didn't even show up.
You know what? We just talked about it, pitching. Texas, you know, threw out their two best guys, Cole Hamels and Yu Darvish, and they both got shelled. I mean, that from a Texas team that was kind of thin on pitching all year, I mean, Yu Darvish came back second half. Cole Hamels was really the constant guy in that rotation, but, I mean, Colby Lewis was injured for a while, and, you know, this team was thin on pitching, but they did find a way to get by. I mean, they have a lot of good players on that team, but they really just didn't show up. And, I mean, you know, Toronto, after that exhilarating game with the Orioles, in the wild card game, they just came in and took care of business. I mean, after that, for that first game really set a precedent for the series when they came out and beat Cole Hamels, you know, beat him 10-0. And the next game, I thought the next game was a must win for the Rangers. And Yu Darvish came out and pitched some very subpar baseball. And a 2-0 in a five-game series, I you know, it's a death sentence, I think. And especially with the lack of pitching, it just didn't look good for the Rangers.
Unless you're the 1984 Cubs, then 2-0 is not a death sentence. It's a death sentence for you.
Right.
And Durham through your legs. But so let me ask you a question. Now you got, all of a sudden, Toronto, Estrada's pitching great. Sanchez, we know, right? Stroman had a pitch, a good opener. I mean, gave up 2 runs. Okay. And my mind is on Hap. Yeah. Before it started, I mean, all of a sudden, that's a pretty solid rotation against Cleveland. Are they formidable enough to beat Cleveland, or who wins that series?
I do. You know what? I think this is going to be a 7-game series. I think it's going to go back and forth. I mean, I think the best pitcher in this series is Corey Kluber. You know, whether or not he replicates what he did in game 2 of the ALDS, I don't know. I mean, this Toronto Blue Jays, Boston Red Sox, Baltimore Orioles, relatively similar. They can all pound the baseball. Corey Kluber is the kind of pitcher, you know, as we saw, who can come out and dominate a team. I mean, he's a power pitcher. You know, some days you just have that, you know, you have that edge, and he had it against the Red Sox. Will he have it against Toronto? I don't know. I think he'll be pretty good. I don't think he'll be as good as he was in game 2 of the ALDS, but I think he'll give him a solid 6 innings. I mean, the guy, you know, consistent as hell. But, I mean, these other guys, you know, Jay Happ had a great year. Probably the best year of his career, but, you know, ERA, you know, around 3.2. Sanchez was pretty damn good for the whole year. So I have to give a little bit of the edge to the Blue Jays right now, just because I think their pitching is a little better, and I think their hitting is a little better. But, I mean, this Indians team as a whole, you know, that bullpen was astounding against the Red Sox. I mean, you know, Andrew Miller, I can't.
Now, how do you like, I gotta interrupt you, how do you like the way they're using Andrew Miller, bringing him in like the 5th or the 6th inning? Like, now they're calling it a new position, the rally stopper.
I think it's great. I mean, that's, baseball has kind of, you know, shifted the way that, you know, bullpens work. I mean, I know we talked about, you know, 40 years ago, your bullpen was a bunch of back-end guys who couldn't make it to the starting rotation. But now you got guys saying, you know, go out there and give me 6 innings and I'll be happy. That's a thing nowadays. So you need a bullpen to get it done. And Andrew Miller, I mean, talk about a guy who they use in high leverage situations, you know, being a rally stopper. I think it's perfect. I mean, I consider him the best reliever in baseball. I mean, you know, maybe Zach Britton was awesome, but Andrew Miller over the past few years has been unbelievable. I mean, you know, nobody really hits him, especially lefties, but I love what Terry Francona did with him. I mean, he's basically probably the best pitcher on your team, you know, maybe Corey Kluber aside, but so if he was a reliever, you use him when you need to. And I thought, you know, bringing him in the 5th inning of that one game was a perfect use of his talent.
But what about the Cubbies? You know, I got news for you. My opinion, if it counts, is if they don't win that game, if they don't come back in the ninth inning, which I thought they were because, you know, I sit up and watch the game, okay? If they don't come back and win that game, I think they got big trouble. I think Cueto beats them in Game 5 at Wrigley Field, and it's a disappointing season all of a sudden.
I was watching this game with all my friends. We're all of us are pretty big Cubs fans, so we were having a few beers, turned into 7 or 8. You know, we're feeling pretty shitty. You know, ninth inning comes up, and we're all thinking, you know, nobody wants to face Johnny Cueto in the playoffs. You know, I don't care if we're at home. I don't care if we're throwing John Lester. I just had a bad feeling. I mean, this Giants team had come back from elimination, you know, 10 times in a row. They had won an elimination game. I mean, that's pretty astounding, especially it's the even year. I mean, everything seemed to be turning not in the Cubs' favor. And, you know, they come back and score 4 in the ninth, and it was an unbelievable thing because the Giants, and it was a fitting end of the season for the Giants because it was the 30th game that they had blown as a blown save. And I mean, if you think about that, the season is 160 games long, and they blew, you know, 30 games because they didn't have anybody to close out games.
How about Aroldis Chapman in the last the makeup game the next night? How'd he do?
Oh, he made up for it. You know, he was awesome. They brought him back, but you know, an unbelievable series. You know, 3-1. You think, you know, it wasn't that good. I thought it was awesome. A lot of great baseball, and you know what? I think the Cubs ride this magic all the way to the World Series. I'm going to call it a Cubs Blue Jays World Series. We'll get back to it next week. I'm sure there are going to be a lot more updates. I have a feeling both these series are going to keep going, but you know, that's all the time we got for this week, guys. We got a lot of great playoff baseball coming up. Another great week, NFL and college football. But you know, if you miss a show, you know where to find us, libertytalk.fm, and we will see you next week, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.